505, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. We're holding steady, by the way, right around 85, 86 degrees. It's toasty. And we're going to have this for a couple of days. We will have rain rolling in towards the end of the week. Tomorrow, Tony Pham is going to be with us. Tony, of course, just a dear friend, buddies for, I don't know, a decade plus, I guess. Formerly headed up ICE. He's got a thing to or two to say about what's going on out in L.A. But again, that's tomorrow afternoon, 5:05. Tony Pham will be here a little bit later today. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, is going to be with us. I want to get his insight. And one of the folks whose opinion I value so highly, I was thrilled when he actually answered and said, yeah, I'm happy to come on today, Rob Chadwick. Rob is one of those guys, I guarantee everybody's reaching out to him, so I'm just thrilled that he's making some time for us. Rob, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
It is my honor. I want to remind everybody that most of the time you're here, you are the Director for Education and Training, United States Concealed Carry Association, and Delta Defense. Great stuff. But I want to get your insight, Rob. You headed up the FBI's tactical training program at Quantico. You had experience with these BLM riots a couple of years back. What are you seeing and what are you thinking as the situation in L.A. unfolds?
Well, it's deeply concerning, Jeff. And you know, the thing that people need to remember is while these riots are going on, and obviously they're surging resources, both local, state, federal, obviously, are moving in to help out. But people concentrate on what's going on at the site of the rioting, and what people forget is that means that there's really no other resources in the surrounding areas to answer the crime that's still going on. So what are everyday citizens who maybe don't live right there where the disturbance is happening, what's going on in their neighborhood when they call the police, someone's breaking into their house, or every available unit is downtown, so to speak, working these riots. Right. And that leaves everyday citizens on their own for an extended period of time.
It's an odd situation, Rob. We talk about that. California is one of those places where it's virtually impossible to have a carry permit. I mean, this ties into some of the other stuff you do today. I mean, what does somebody do in California? How are they supposed to be protecting themselves?
Well, you hit it, Jeff. The firearm is the one tool that levels the playing field for everyone. And, as long as you're properly trained and have some confidence in your ability to use it in an extreme situation, there really is no substitute. But in those situations where someone doesn't have access to a firearm, they need to have a plan, some means to defend themselves, whether it's a non-lethal option, like a taser or pepper spray, something like that, mm-hmm. and be prepared to evacuate, right? It's not worth sticking around to see what's going to happen. If you see trouble developing in or around, your area, it's time to move out. Have that decision, though, made ahead of time. And, invest in some training. Look at, that's why I do what I do, right? Work with people all over the country. The USCCA has classes everywhere in helping people develop that personal security plan. It starts with mindset and a decision that you are going to take action to protect yourself and your family.
Rob Chadwick is joining us. Rob is currently the Director of Education and Training, United States Concealed Carry Association, formerly the head of the FBI's Tactical Training Program right up the road at Quantico. Rob, go back in time a little bit. You are leading the Tactical Training Program. You're looking at the way the operations are being conducted. Are you pleased with how they're going in L.A. and surrounding areas, or are there one or two tactical decisions you would have made differently?
Well, what concerns me is for the men and women who are on the front lines today in L.A. is what concerned me when my unit got called up back in 2019. Right after George Floyd was killed, you had the unrest in and around Lafayette Park in Washington D.C. right up the road from WRVA, and that day I was at Quantico and got the call from my boss, "Hey, get your guys and get to D.C." The problem is, Jeff, that the FBI, as trained and proficient as our guys were in certain areas, we were never trained nor equipped to deal with, civil protest, right? That's a very highly specialized response. When I was a policeman up the road in Fairfax County, I was on the civil disturbance unit as part of my assignment, And you get specialized training and equipment. We had none of that. And so my unit, you know, the tactical training unit at Quantico, 25 of us were downtown right there at Lafayette Park wearing multicam uniforms and big block letters and, you know, M4s and 9mm and no less lethal options. We had nothing. Wow. And so, you know, we're facing off against, these are, after all, our fellow citizens, you know, for the most part, right. On the other side of the protest lines, and they're exercising their right to protest. And the last thing you want to, in the world you want to do is you know, really hurt somebody unnecessarily. But, you know, it really occurred to me and many of my colleagues, like, what are we supposed to be doing here? We had very little guidance and rules of engagement, that sort of thing. And especially for units or agencies that are just not trained or equipped to handle that. That's what concerns me for those men and women on the front lines right now.
Interesting. Have you seen the videos of folks on the streets? These are videos shot inside of DHS vehicles looking out their windshield and what have you. Folks with giant cinder blocks, major chunks of cement and stones, hurling them right at the windshield. I mean, the goal there, obviously, is to injure those officers inside. And it's not fair. I'm not asking you to do, you know, game table this with me, but I'm just looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, so do you keep going forward or do you go in reverse? I mean, honest to goodness, I just don't even know which way your vehicle should be moving at that point. I don't know.
Well, as a citizen, anytime you see stuff like that, even developing, it's time to leave immediately, right? Get yourself and the people you care about out of there. But you know, the thing is, make no mistake, while many, and probably the vast majority of the people who are protesting down there, you know, are just exercising their right to protest, there are always paid agitators, always people like, you know, these Antifa, you know, protesters who are looking for an excuse, looking for an opportunity to act up and cause problems and agitate. And so that's what really concerned me, is this one protester, this one agitator, you know, if they were to reach up and do something to cause one of these law enforcement officers to have to respond with a significant level of force, now they want to film that and, of course, exploit that for salacious purposes. It's an absolute nightmare for those people on the front lines, and I pray for them. My thoughts and prayers are with those people.
Yeah, the situation they're placed in is untenable at best. It is, for the vast majority of the population, I think it's probably a terrifying experience to just to even to try and imagine. And for those of us, I mean, I forgot for a second, you were police officer locally up in Fairfax. And for those of us that suited up and went out there and tried to do the job every day, it is one of those things. It's like, yeah, it's another day at the office. I want to go home, though. And what is the appropriate level of force? And now with video everywhere, everyone has a camera, everyone's recording everything. Boy, it's, I would have to imagine, it's just that much more complicated to deal with.
Well, people need to remember, we are all now living in what they call the ubiquitous technical surveillance state. Everywhere you look, there's a Ring doorbell or a traffic camera or a drone or some, you know, even a handheld phone that is recording. And so everything you do all the time is going to be subject to recording and scrutiny and second guessing. And so, you know, it's a terrifying thing to think about, especially when you're forced to react in a split second to defend yourself or your family, and then that is going to be judged based on these multi-angle videos that you might not have had. That's what's happening with these law enforcement officers with the body cam videos, and you know, it's just such a deeply unfair and troubling situation for law enforcement right now. And again, I commend these, you know, men and women who are out there trying to keep the peace. But you know, for your listeners, if something were to happen, you know, in their area, always remember that, you know, people are willing to do things they would never even consider if they were on their own when they're part of a big group, especially like a faceless mob. And so the violence and the capacity for violence in a group setting like that is just off the charts.
It is indeed. Rob, I appreciate you being here. And you had mentioned earlier, and I want to give you the opportunity to share the website, United States Concealed Carry Association, the training that is literally happening in all 50 states, it seems like, every day of the week. For somebody, maybe it's the first time they've heard you on this program. Maybe they're thinking, yeah, I need a little more training and education. What's the best way for them to reach out to United States Concealed Carry Association?
best place to start is our website, uscca.com. There's literally a search box for training near me, and there are hundreds of free training classes in every corner of the country. We're in 5-Eleven stores. You know, anything from how to build a survival kit, you know, bug out bag, to how to do first aid, to you know, how to shoot in self-defense and what to do in the aftermath. All these things that sometimes people never have thought about, that's what these training classes are for. It's just to provoke that consideration. That's what we want to do, is equip responsible American citizens to protect themselves, their family, and what matters most.
Well, I love what you do over there. I always appreciate you making time for us, Rob, and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
It's always a pleasure. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. That is Rob Chadwick. Rob is the Director, Education and Training, USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. It's a great operation. If you are a firearms owner and you're not a member, you should join. If you just are looking for the training, I'm telling you, it is all over the place. And for those who are thinking, maybe I should become a trainer, yeah, options and opportunities available for that. But USCCA.com. Yes, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets for the Artemis Pyle Band. Artemis Pyle, the original member, the last surviving original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. He's going to be at the Beacon Theater this Friday. I'll give you a chance to win those tickets just a couple of minutes from now. 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah! How many used car dealers going to have some big special deals, huh? Oh, it was only peacefully set on by immolated. What's the mileage on this? Right. How many gallons of water did the LA Fire Department have to pour on this vehicle to salvage it? And does that mean that I can get a clear title on it? Or there's so many questions now that are popping up. Oh, you know what else is still popping up? Germ, did you ever get a clarification? Am I the potbelly Jew boy of whom 804 texts, or were they referring to themselves? God, a comma would just, it would make my evening. A properly placed comma in that text on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Seriously, I don't know. Gosh, I just want to know. That's all I want to know. Do I need to post a new photo? Maybe that, not nude. Stop that. No, a new N-E-W, a new photo that indicates there's no pot belly. I don't have a pot belly. I don't. It's just not the case. Gosh, but anywho.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. Here, I date him before you, potbelly Jew boy. So again, is that you who's the potbelly Jew boy? Or, well, anyway, listen, I want to give you some tickets. I know I'm pondering this, but I do want to give you the tickets. The Artemis Pyle Band is coming to the Beacon Theater this Friday, June 13th. Artemis is the one surviving original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. So if you want to go, we'll make it nice and easy for you, right? Caller number 7. Why not? We're in a good mood today, right? Caller number 7 at 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets for the Artemis Pyle Band at the Beacon this Friday. And by the way, no pot belly, because I am at the lowest point in my weight journey since junior high school. I kid you not. I'm no longer in the two category. I'm actually in the one. I'm below I'm in the wonderful category. That's all I'm going to say. Jimmy Galeotto, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, joins us next. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. By the way, holding steady right around 85 degrees. I think the overnight low is going to be down around 70. Not terrible. It's not terrible. A little more rain moving in towards the end of the week. And you know what was nice? I've got to say this. The weekend, remember they kept telling us it's a washout. Everything's going to be washed out. Don't even think about going outside. I mean, we had some downpours, but man. I don't know about you. I was able to get out and about. It's pretty nice. I mean, it's, you know, no village in upstate New York, but it ain't bad for a little southern town where I am. But we're looking at what's going on in L.A., and I'm trying to make heads or tails of it. I'm hearing from the president. I'm hearing from Tom Homan. We just heard from Rob Chadwick, retired out of Quantico, charge of the tactical unit up there. And Jimmy Galliano joins us. Jimmy is my go-to guy, as you know, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, graduate of a West Point, and somebody who knows more about law enforcement and procedures than pretty much anybody I know. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
My man, as soon as the bat signal went up, when I heard that someone sent you a nasty email, I said, I am here for my guy, Jeff Katz.
Jimmy, I'm telling you, know, people argue about that Oxford comma, right, in advanced English classes. And I'm thinking, all I need is one comma. Am I the potbelly Jew boy, in which case, well, maybe I got to work on something. Or are you saying you are, in which case I'm going to give you inspiration to live better? I mean, I just don't know which way to go.
Jeff, it's the power of positive thinking. You've always adhered to that, and I would stick with that. Just think positively.
All right. Well, I am positive that Potbelly is long gone, so I am good to go on this. All right, my friend, you are looking, as we all are, at Los Angeles federal law enforcement agents under attack. The governor says, hey, there's nothing going on here. Everything is fine, even as there are all sorts of awful images in the background. So you tell me what really is going on and what should be the response.
Let's unpack it.
Okay.
So this is exactly the reason why back in the mid-80s, two brilliant professors, Kelling and Williams, came up with this idea about broken windows.
Yep.
Broken windows suggests that if you let the small things fester, if you let them proliferate, if you allow pickpockets, if you allow quote-unquote broken windows, and you know you allow the decay of public order, you are going to invite serious crime. Jeff, this is a mob, and mobs become emboldened, and I heard Mr. Chadwick say it earlier, that you know when people get into a mob, they tend to act out and do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were by themselves, because mobs become living organisms. And the problem with that is that we have tolerated them for far too long. And Jeff, I go as far back as 1991 in the FBI's New York City office, when the Crown Heights riots happened, and 1992 out in L.A. again, where the Rodney King riots happened. The response was much different. And here's the thing, and this is what I want to unpack, because people argue this all the time on social media. Jimmy, you want to step on people's First Amendment rights. We have a right to protest. Sure you do. You don't have a right to point lasers at the eyes of law enforcement officers. You don't have the right to graffiti all over federal buildings. You don't have the right to drop cinder blocks and throw rocks off of overpasses so that you injure and maim police officers. You don't. And in fact, people think that the First Amendment, which affords us the right to free speech and the right to worship how we want to and the right to public assembly, they don't understand that you still have to follow all applicable laws, Jeff. So if I want to step out in the middle of the road and prevent an ambulance from going by because I want to protest climate change, I am breaking the law. And that's where this breaks down, Jeff, because people will argue, well, Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights marchers, they didn't get permits. They also didn't attack police. Different time, different motive. What's going on right now is people are protesting the lawful and legal conduct of law enforcement in this country. And Jeff, as I say often, and I'm an optimist at heart, but it's going to get worse before it gets better.
That is what we all fear, Jimmy. Jimmy Galeano joining us, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. That is what we all fear. We have these turf wars going on that it, in some universe somewhere, I guess it makes sense. But I watch the coverage of the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. I don't know the guy, and I don't know if he's up from the ranks or from somewhere else. But he said, look. Number one, this seems like it's just like an L.A. thing that you have to do. He says, you know, we're not involved in any way with enforcing federal law, meaning they're not helping ICE to do this, that, or the other. However, we have declared an unlawful assembly. Everybody's got to go, and we are charged with enforcing that. I've heard rumblings from CHP guys, California Highway Patrol guys, that there's some big skirmishes in Northern California because the governor doesn't want any CHP presence. And those guys, literally with boots on the ground, are like, no, this is what we do. You have Governor Newsom saying he's going to sue President Trump for federalizing the National Guard. Is it possible? Oh, and just in, 500 Marines are also headed on their way to L.A. coming up from, San Diego. So is it possible for the agencies to work together, or is this just all political stuff that's going to get in the way?
Well, I mean, there's never a problem with law enforcement agencies working together. Yes, it's the politics. And I can speak to this having, you know, recently become a reformed and recovering politician. and look, having served as a mayor in an upstate New York village, much smaller than the city of Los Angeles. But, Jeff, what if I decided in my village in upstate New York that I was not going to allow federal officers to enforce any gun laws? So if they come in and they decide to arrest somebody for a silencer, arrest somebody for a pistol with an obliterated serial number on it, or somebody with, you know, large capacity magazines, or somebody that's filed off a SEER and turned a semi-automatic rifle into an automatic rifle, what happens if I said, nope, we are not going to support the ATF, the FBI, or anyone else in this jurisdiction? Jeff, that's anarchy. That is absolute anarchy, and that's what this is. The problem is that we've just tolerated it for so long that now that we're trying to turn it back, I mean, you know, the fact that over the last 4 years during the Biden administration, I mean, people were actually encouraged. I'll pull up the clips of then-candidate Biden saying to people, surge to the border. Well, they did. And what happened is, and again, the vast majority of them are good people, but they're overwhelming the system. Our system is not built to take all of these extra people into account. Right. And now what happens is Trump decides, hey, we're going to go after the worst of the worst. However, if we're conducting a raid and we're going after the worst of the worst, and you happen to be undocumented as well, an illegal alien as well, you are going to get swept up in the process. And that's what people are losing their minds for in these blue cities. And, Jeff, like I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. What's going on in California right now, even in my state in New York, you know, there's a reason why our two states, California and New York, lead the country in out-migration. People are moving to other places. Where? Places that are safer and places where people respect the rule of law, and that is currently not going on right now in Los Angeles, California.
Jimmy Galeano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, joining us. Jimmy, what about the deployment of resources? There are some of the questions that are being raised, and Rob Chadwick actually raised one. He says, you know, when we're surging law enforcement to the riot locations, people need to remember that means that your part of town is probably losing X number of officers. Now, LAPD, it's a huge agency. The sheriff's office, huge agency. But nonetheless, they're pulling people out of regular patrol stuff to deal with this. And perhaps the very same people who are rooting for the rioters could very well find themselves subject to abuse from the rioters.
Let's go back to the summer of love, Jeff, in 2020. What happened that summer? Billions of dollars worth of damage. Billions with a B. And you know who got hurt the worst, Jeff? Small businesses and the Democrats. And again, you know, I'm trying not to make this political, but it's hard to look at urban areas and big cities, because they're typically run by Democrats, that allowed this to happen, that sat by and allowed it to happen, because the people needed to act out. And Jimmy, it's just property. But if you're some, you know, small immigrant family that came here the right way, and you open up a grocery store, and you're working your butt off, you're in there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're shutting down and sweeping out at 10 o'clock at night, and your place gets torched or looted, Jeff, the ripple effect that has for generations, it's unconscionable that we're not providing and affording those folks a safe place to live. So, you know, look, Jeff, what can we do? I'll give you two quick ones.
Okay.
One is, from now on, when you break the law, and again, we have some of these laws on the books and they're not enforced. If you break the law while you're wearing a mask, you're going to jail. And we're not going to use the revolving door justice system where you're out the next day or you're out that evening before the ink is even dry on your arrest warrant.
Yep.
So that's number one, because we're allowing these clowns and these buffoons to wear face coverings while they're throwing rocks, pelting buildings and people with, you know, rocks, bricks. These are organized groups. They're finance groups. Antifa is not an idea, Jeff. It is an organization. There, I said it, because everyone else says it the other way. It's not an idea. It's an organization, and we need to start going after them hard. Number two, this might be a little more controversial, but in 2019 in Hong Kong, do you know what the police did there during some civil unrest? They used water cannons with blue dye. And what they did is they sprayed with water. It was harmless and it didn't hurt anybody, but they sprayed blue dye on people so that they were able to pick them up and identify them afterwards.
Wow.
Jeff, two things. Enforce the mask laws and maybe consider something like this so that we can identify these people who are cowards because they're acting in groups and they're covering their faces, and maybe that'll slow some of this down.
Brilliant ideas. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. And what a great idea. I think that is absolutely well worth considering, the idea of the water cannons with some sort of dye. You're not going to hurt anybody, but they are going to receive a new paint job for a couple of days, making it that much easier to go out and affect lawful arrest. That is something to think about. 547, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I love LA.
I cannot wait to go and visit. It could happen any day. Well, it could. You know, it's weird. I'm scrolling on my phone because I've got memories coming up from Facebook, and you know that is far more important than any other thing that I could possibly do, so I'm looking at them. And 1 year ago today, I was in Palo Alto. In fact, most of the Katz family was in Palo Alto for Harry's granulation when he graduated from Stanford. But, so that was nice. And here's the other thing. In the photos, I'm looking, and I think if the texter who reached out on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, had in fact been texting last year on this date, they I don't want to take it the wrong way. I won't take it the wrong way. They might have been able to say Potbelly Jew Boy. Because there was, I'm still Jewish. That hasn't changed, obviously. So I guess that always, you know, you just keep that. But the whole pot belly thing, like I'm looking, I'm going, yeah, you know, not my best look. But now, since that photo, I am down 54 pounds. Just FYI, I know, because I was on the scale this morning and I did the math. The calculator on my phone has never been utilized as much as I keep going, oh, how much did I lose? So I'm down, actually, just so you know, 54.2 pounds. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. But now, yeah, not really Potbelly Jew Boy. So you might want to come up with something new. I will give you you can keep with the religious slurs if that makes you feel better. But you're going to have to do something else. I'm sorry. You can't quite cut through with that sort of stuff. Okay, that's it for today, believe it or not. Good day today. Thank you, Jerm, as always, for all the great stuff. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., I would urge you to be listening to Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. Got great stuff coming up, always does. Tomorrow afternoon, dear friend of mine, Tony Pham, will be with us, former head of ICE. I bet you he's got a thing or two to say about what's happening in L.A. Go out, enjoy the evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.